If you've got your copy of Scripture with you, I want to invite your attention to Mark chapter 1 this morning. I do want to share with you actually a couple of stories, and then we're going to compare those two stories. They're both found in the Gospel of Mark. First one is Mark chapter 1. If you find Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, falling on his knees before him, saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." A powerful statement of faith preceded by worship and praise. He falls before him. That's an act of worship. He's on his knees before him. And he's beseeching him. He's begging of him. He is searching for an answer and a response from him. And he says to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." It's not a question of Jesus' ability. He says, "I know you can. I just don't know if that's part of your plan. If you're willing, I know that you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, in verse 41, moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Now, before we go too much farther into the story, I want to pause here, and we're going to chase a rabbit real quick. It's okay to chase rabbits as long as they have meat on them. We're going to chase a quick rabbit here because I think it is a powerful statement that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the man. Why? This man was not lame. This man was not blind. This man was not deaf. This man had leprosy. And when you have leprosy, in that time, in that setting, you had to separate yourself from everyone else. As a matter of fact, you're walking down the street. Man with leprosy sees a clean man, he has to yell, "Leprosy, hands up, leprosy, stay away from me, I'm unclean, don't touch me." And so imagine the loneliness of leprosy. Imagine what he must feel like where nobody can give him a hug. Nobody is going to kiss him on the cheek. You don't touch leprosy. And yet Jesus, the one who spoke the worlds into existence, Jesus, the one who created this man, the one who could have healed him from a mile away, the one who could have spoken wholeness into his life, stretches out his hand and touches. It is the human part of Jesus that we see depicted so beautifully. It says he had compassion on the man, and so he stretched out his hand and touched him. There was more than just a physical healing going on here. Jesus was saying, "You matter. I love you. You count. You're worth a human touch." And so in verse 40, the leper comes and begs. In verse 41, Jesus reaches and touches. He says, "Be cleansed." In 42, immediately the leprosy left him. He was cleansed, and he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. Now, did you see what happened? After he healed the man, he said, "Now don't tell your story. Don't say anything." Because it was not yet Jesus' time. There was a time that had been planned for how Jesus was going to minister. And he was not yet to be recognized as Messiah because it wasn't time for the crowds to gather, because it wasn't time to gain attention, because it wasn't yet time for him to die on the cross, which would happen as attention came around. Because it wasn't time, he told the leper, "Keep your story quiet." And yet the leper went and told everybody he could find, so much so that Jesus could not enter a city because the crowds were gathering around him. So he stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. He stayed away from the crowds, and the crowds came to him because the man told his story. Now, turn to Mark 7, if you will. I want to show you a similar story, and then we're going to compare them. In Mark chapter 7, this time starting at verse 31. Mark chapter 7 at 31. "And again he went out from the region of Tyre and came through the Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, within the region of Decapolis." Now, for us today, that just means this is a very Roman-influenced area. Decapolis is that means 10 cities. This is a Roman stronghold, if you will. And in 32, "They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they entreated him to lay his hand upon him. He took him aside from the multitude by himself, put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva." I don't know why Jesus does some of the things he does when he heals people. I don't know. There are some interesting, you know, remember the other time where he used his spit to make mud and he put it in the dude's eye to heal blindness? I don't know. Why he does some of the things he does. But I do notice that he heals in different ways throughout Scripture, which tells me that he deals with each of us individually. It's not always the same. We're not cookie cutters to him. We're individuals, and he deals with each one individually and differently. I do notice as well that he uses his own creation many times to perform a miracle like that. And here he puts his fingers in the guy's ears because they don't work. And he uses his own saliva to bless the man's tongue because it doesn't work. And 34, "Looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, 'Ephphatha.'" That's Aramaic that means "be opened." "And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. He gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. And they were utterly astonished, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.'" Now, I want us to look at those two stories and compare them very quickly. And as we compare them, I notice a few things. First, I notice that both men needed to be healed. One had leprosy. One couldn't hear, and he didn't speak well. Both men needed to be healed. As you and I tell our story, that's where the story begins. We're able to tell folks who we were before Jesus came into our lives, who we were before we met him. We tell our part of the story that says why we needed him. Both of these men needed to be healed. And that's a big part of their story. It's a big part of our story. Perhaps your healing is not a physical healing, but perhaps yours was a spiritual need. Perhaps yours is an emotional need. Perhaps you had a past that you couldn't get over without a Savior to free you from it. But there's a part of your story that demonstrates your need for a Savior. Both men needed to be healed. And the second thing I notice as I compare the stories is that both men were changed by Jesus. It was Jesus who changed both men. The leper was cleansed when Jesus touched him. The deaf man who couldn't speak well was healed when Jesus touched him. And you and I, if we have really trusted in Jesus Christ, if we've really trusted in Him personally, then we've been touched by Him. And when He touched us, He changed us. I would even go so far as to say that if you really know Jesus, you have been changed by Him. And if you have not been changed by Him, you really don't know Him yet. Because that's what He does. He changes us. He brings healing and wholeness and forgiveness. He sets us free. Jesus touches us, and we're never the same again. You see, both men needed to be healed, and both men were changed by Jesus, and both men were instructed not to tell their story. Did you notice that? We saw it, we pointed it out clearly in the story of the leper, but the same thing was true with the story of the man who was deaf. Jesus told him and those around him, don't tell anybody. Be quiet, don't tell your story. The timing wasn't right, and so he instructed them not to tell their story. Which brings me to the fourth thing that I notice as we compare them, and that is that both men disobeyed. Both men disobeyed. God, Jesus said, don't tell anybody, and both men wound up telling folk. They couldn't keep it quiet. They couldn't keep from telling their story. It's similar to Peter and John in the book of Acts when Peter and John are brought before the religious leaders and the bigwigs and the power people. And the power people told Peter and John, don't speak again in the name of Jesus. Don't speak again in His name. Peter and John said, well, you guys, you know, you're the smart religious theologians, so you're going to have to figure out if you think we ought to obey you or ought to obey God. But as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We can't help to talk about it. And I think that's where the leper was. And that's where the deaf man was. We can't help but talk about it. We've been so dramatically changed, and we've seen God work in so many wonderful ways. We can't help but to talk about what we have seen and heard. We can't keep it a secret. The crazy thing is that Jesus told them not to tell their story, but they did. And He tells us to tell our story, and we don't. It's crazy how we just, something in us, I guess, we just got to do the opposite of what He wants. He says, don't say anything, and they won't shut up. He tells us, you're going to be My witnesses. You're going to be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. You're going to tell the story. And we don't. When He says you're going to be My witnesses, we've taken that word and we've talked about the importance of witnessing. We've turned, you know, we use it kind of as a, in its verb form, it's important to witness to others. And because that's become a part of our church jargon, I'm not sure we stop long enough to really think what that means. He's talking about it more from the legal sense when you go to the court of law and you're called to be a witness. What do they want to know? The lawyers are not expecting you to be able to explain the intricacies of the law. When they're calling on you to be a witness, they just want to know what you've seen and what you've heard. Tell them the story from your perspective. That's what Jesus means in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You're going to be My witnesses. You're going to tell the story. Just tell people what you've seen and heard. You don't have to get into a deep theological discussion every time. You don't have to know all the words to say and the right things. You tell your story. And when you tell your story, you give God glory. And that's the fifth thing that I noticed in the two stories. Both men brought him glory. You see, in the first story, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. When they heard the story, they couldn't help but come to Jesus. They were coming from everywhere. And so when the one who had been touched by Jesus told his story, he gave him glory. Same thing in the other story in chapter 7. The last verse of that story in verse 37 says, "They were utterly astonished, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.'" They were bringing him glory. They were praising Jesus. "He has done all things well." Throughout this series, at the top of your order of worship inside the worship folder, we've had the same verse each Sunday, and we'll continue that through the rest of the series. Psalm 96 and verse 3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." Tell the story. Bring him glory. So my challenge for you this morning is to speak up. Both these guys were told, "Don't say anything yet," but they couldn't help but talk about what they had seen and heard. If Jesus has touched you, you've been changed. You've seen something. You've heard something. You have felt something. You've experienced something. And we ought to be like Peter and John, and we can't help but tell about it. I wonder this morning, have you indeed been touched by Jesus? Have you trusted him to the point that he really has been able to come into your life and forgive you of sin, give you a new start? Now notice I'm not asking, did you grow up in church? I'm not asking, do you believe in Christianity instead of Judaism or Buddhism or some other ism? I'm asking, have you had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ to the point that he touched your life and changed you? Because that's what makes us Christian. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, give you the opportunity to experience that very thing. If you've never trusted Christ and confessed to him, "I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven, I need to be changed." If you've never made that confession, to say, "I need Jesus," we're going to give you the opportunity. In just a moment, we'll stand and sing. And if you realize that you've never really trusted Jesus personally, would you come? Let us pray with you about that. Let us help you give your life to him. Maybe someone else would say, "That's all been settled for me. I know that I'm saved. I know that he touched me and changed me. But somewhere along the way, I got distracted. Somewhere along the way, I got off track, and I just need to come back to follow him again." Perhaps you'd come to the altar and just pray privately and return to him in a meaningful way. Maybe someone else would say, "I know that I'm a Christian. I know I'm following him, and now I know that he wants me to be baptized or to join this church or to enter into missions or ministry." If God calls you to make a commitment in one of those ways, would you come and let us pray with you as well? Let's stand together as we sing our hymn, 638. As we sing, "If God calls you, come quickly."